Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our first annual Bruh Migos Podcast NBA Draft Lottery Predictions. And today, as you know, I am Price, the Big Bad Podcast Daddy, with Rob and Big Visky here for this day. And now, I'm going to kick it over to Rob, and we're going to start our predictions.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Again, this is the first annual Bromigos Podcast Draft Lottery Prediction Show. We will give you who we are predicting to basically win the draft lottery, their picks, and what everything else, you know, that it entails. And without further ado, I'm going to give you the number 14 pick in the 2025 NBA draft. That pick will go to the Chicago Bulls.
Well, Jarvis, what do you think about that pick right there, the Chicago Bulls? They're coming in at 1.7% to win the number one pick. What do you think about that? Because you know you did. Your Lakers did lose to Josh Giddey on a half-court shot. So how does that make you feel?
I mean, that seems well-deserved, but that may be biased. But at 1.7%, you can't expect much. You can't expect the crack to fall.
Number 14,
that serves about right, especially with how that season went and everything. I think they could probably still get a good piece to go with.
Coming in, one of the first ones, Chicago. Rob, who would be next?
Josh Giddey with a weird case. Number 13th pick will go to the Houston Rockets via the Phoenix Suns.
H-Town, you're looking pretty good. Via the Phoenix Suns trade, that was also via Brooklyn, 3.8% lottery odds to actually get the number one pick. Those people down in H-Town, Jarvis, not far from you. How do you feel about them?
Man, actually, that is a steal, you know, being that they already got a good core, a good young core. They could probably get somebody, another young piece that'll just slide right on in. And it's basically a steal in the trade world as we see it, you know. Usually doesn't happen where teams are great and end up getting a lottery pick. So I'm interested to see where they go.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And who would be next, Rob?
With the number 12th pick in the 2025 draft, the Brooklyn Nets.
Ooh, the Brooklyn Nets coming in at 9%. Well, everything wasn't too good in Brooklyn right there. Wasn't too good at all. 9%, Jarvis, that is pretty high. Not the highest, but they didn't get what they needed. How do you think that'll fit in with Brooklyn?
Kind of think it won't do very much for them at all. Let's get it straight. 9%, they could have went a little higher. And just the pieces they have is blankly non-existent. So, you know, coming in at that spot, I don't really think it's going to make too much noise. We're probably going to be seeing a lot of Brooklyn on the bottom of the conference for years.
Yeah, a lot of bottomed out Brooklyn, kind of like those subways and everything else you guys got going on over there. Next for us, Rob.
Where's Brooklyn at? Still in the projects. Shout out to Marcy. The number 11th pick go to the Toronto Raptors.
7.5%, not quite the 9% of Brooklyn, Jarvis, but Toronto, not too many years off of a championship, getting a lottery pick, decent spot still, not Cooper Flag worthy. Do you think that they can do anything in the house of Maple Bacon up north, Jarvis?
I mean, granted, from the prospects I'm seeing this year, if you're not really top seven, it's going to be kind of hard to really make a lot of noise in this draft. You know, so again, coming off being at the bottom of the conference, and I don't really see it changing next year.
Yeah, that just screams more help from the people who call Canadian bacon, you know, ham. It is what it is. Who's next, Rob?
The number 10 pick, the Sacramento Kings.
The Sacramento Kings at 0.8%. That is quite high. That's a great move up right there. Currently, they do have Zach LaVine. They have DeRozan. He's kind of aging out. Sabonis. Do you think that this could shake them up any, Jarvis?
Definitely, because they already got a solid team. Playoff contender. So to be in that top 10 range where you might be just missing one piece, I think this will be a good spot for them to add just that little piece that could come in, shake things up, give Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan a little rest, and really, so they could just put their weight on and go make something happen.
Now, I do want to let the audience know that pick can be conveyed to Atlanta. Just got to throw that one out there. Next, Rob, who do you have?
The number 9 pick. The Portland Trailblazers.
Portland Trailblazers at 3.7% coming in at number 9. They cracked the top 10, Jarvis. I don't know how good that can actually make them. DeAndre Ayton. They have some good pieces that are young, but people like Scoot Henderson have lag developed. Do you think that this could be any hope of marginal victory? Well, of margin to help victory. Come to Portland.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to make a drastic change, but, you know, DeAndre Ayton, the young pieces, they could get somebody to put in there to grow the team and to grow the chemistry. It's not going to be an immediate change, but I feel like they could put somebody in there that's going to really make, you know, a difference and kind of boost them up a little bit.
Yeah, shout out to Denny Adville. Always sitting on them picks for me, baby. I gamble on y'all over there in Portland sometime. Who's next, Rob?
The number 8th pick, the New Orleans Pelicans.
So much disappointment there for New Orleans. 12.5% right around the top 4. I am hurt because Zion is always hurt. And right now, our team was really hurt this year. And it also hurts me that, you know, DeJounte Murray says that he would, you know, enjoy going back to San Antonio. Jarvis, New Orleans do anything with that pick?
Let me tell you what I think they can do. Surprise you. But, yes, I think they can do something with this pick. Not necessarily use the pick for themselves. You know, there is Giannis floating around the trade market, you know. So, using that pick could come in handy. You know, maybe to land like a Giannis or somebody else in the bigs, because I think I think the experiment is not working in New Orleans. You know, he just too many po' boys, too many strippers. He got to go. And I think if you offer Zion plus a top 10 pick, you know, that could probably get some good investors coming in. So I think they could use that to their advantage for a trade battle.
Investments in picks, getting Zion out of here. Also, he'll be taking Mariah Mills with him. Next, who do we have next, Rob?
The number 7th pick, the Charlotte Hornets.
The Charlotte Hornets at number 7 with a 14% chance to get number 1 LaMelo Ball ankle shot. We don't know what's going to come. His brother had knees, his ankle's gone. Young team, Mark Williams, back problems coming out of Duke. What could this even do for them over there in Charlotte, Jarvis?
At this point, I'm not even sure. You know, I feel like this might be the Cleveland Browns of the NBA. They're always at the bottom, always getting the, you know, in the draft picks. And, you know, you have LaMelo Ball, but they just don't know how to put pieces around them. And honestly, I think they swindled the pick. They either traded for something stupid, or they just pick something way out of left field that flops. That's how I see it.
Infinite flops from the old Stinging Hornets over there. Who do we have next, Rob?
LaVar Ball, you will pay for your crimes. For the number 6 pick, the Washington Wizards.
The Washington Wizards, 14% odds, second worst record in the NBA. There's so many things that you can say about Washington. DC is not happy. DC is not happy with them at all. Jarvis, despite all of the negative things that I could say about that team and Jordan Poole taking his sadness over there after being punched by Draymond Green, what do you think can come? What good of this can happen for Washington?
I really think they got a lot of solid pieces, you know, despite, you know, Jordan Poole's softness. And, you know, they do got Chris Middleton, and I just feel like they could add something there. Because Chris Middleton ain't no slouch if he, you know, pick up his play. But Jordan Poole, you know, he got to drop the cojones and become a man on the court. And yes. I feel like this is a good spot to probably get somebody that's nobody's looking for, that's could fall to the bottom half of the top 10 that can make some noise. Not drastic. I'm not saying they a playoff team. 11-12, something around there.
Still way at the bottom. Way at the bottom. Rob, who do we have next?
Can't spell continued Hades without DC. With the number 5 pick, it will go to the Philadelphia 76ers.
The Philadelphia 76ers at a 10.5% chance to make the number one pick. Embiid, knees, always hurt. And Paul George, we'll have Paul George, always hurt. And I'd like to also add, he's always hurt after he gets his money. Tyrese Maxey, the lone upside along with Jared McCann and whatnot, the pieces that they have there. 76ers cracking the top five. Do you think that this could really make something shake up for them, Jars?
Honestly, do. Only. If only Embiid and Paul George stay the injury. But let's face it, you know, Tyrese Maxey, he is a great talent. He can only do so much. Now, if you have Embiid, Paul George healthy, plus like a top five draft pick, sky's the limit. You know, the process could maybe finally be finished. Because this, we've been in the process for how many years now?
Too many.
You know, I feel like the process is on repeat instead of getting to the finish line. Let's find him across the line.
Crossing the line with playoff P. No longer regular season urine. Who do we have next, Rob?
With the number four pick, the Utah Jazz.
The Utah Jazz, 14% Sexton, marketing, Walker Kessler, 17 wins this year out of 82 possible games. What could they do? What could they do over there in the land of Utah? Just a bunch of ice and hockey rinks, as far as I'm concerned. What do you think, Jarvis?
We're going to send my serious apologies to whoever was drafted to Utah. Because we're going to have probably one of the best talents of this year's draft go to mediocrity. And it happens. The greater you are in college, the worse of the team you're probably going to go to. And it's going to be a long fight, probably a long rookie contract for whoever goes there, because I don't see anything shaking up Utah. That's just my opinion. 17 wins, you're not going to get to 40. Come on.
Get your money while you're there, baby. Get your money while you're there, because you don't want to be probably in Utah unless you can immediately turn this ship around. Who do we have next, Rob?
At the number three pick, we have San Antonio Spurs.
The San Antonio Spurs. With 6% coming in the top three, Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, a lot of great potential there. Even though Pop isn't coaching anymore, Pop is going to be president. So he's behind the scenes pulling strings, making sure things get right. Also, the land in the city where you live, Jarvis, how do you feel coming in top three to pair with Wemby and De'Aaron Fox and also some of that good young talent, Sochan, Vasile that you guys have? What do you think that this does for San Antonio?
I would be hella excited for my hometown, San Antonio. Well, not hometown, but current city. My hometown, San Antonio, because a top three pick, I don't think we need to use it. I think it is specifically meant for trade value. So you already got your next big star in Wemby. You got De'Aaron Fox. So we don't need another young person. We need a veteran, not an old veteran, but, you know, prime veteran. And I think a top three pick could land you that missing piece to put San Antonio back in the playoffs. And that's all they need. They are.
San Antonio, one piece away, making a run. Who do we have next, Rob, at number two of the predictions?
The number two pick, the San Antonio Spurs via Atlanta.
Who? The Spurs landing two top three picks via Atlanta. Okay, who only had a 0.7%, and going into this thing with two top picks being that high of a team, like I said, could you imagine you guys right now, Jarvis, two top three picks? What would you do? What would be your move? That would you go after like, Zion? Who would you go after?
That's like having the golden ticket, pick two and three. I mean, of course, I would probably use one of them to make a draft pick. One of them, of course, as a trade value. Or it depends on how high of a caliber of superstar you want. If you want to get rid of both of them. But I don't think that's a good choice. You don't want to get rid of two and three, especially not to the same team. You don't want to do that. Unless you trade them to the other conference. But yes, you could go for, now this is a good prime spot for Giannis. Giannis and Wemby together in San Antonio? Come on now. That'll be amazing. But I don't think they want to give up that much, a two and three. But also, if you're giving up Giannis and you don't get another superstar to replace him, you're going to have to give up them type of picks because that's the money got to match. You know, you got to make it match.
Maybe the Spurs come off a newly acquired De'Aaron Fox with a pick to maybe get a Giannis. You never know.
Or a Zion.
Or even a Zion. Now, Rob, for the people at home who don't know about a process of elimination, who the number one pick is, go ahead and make the announcement for them.
With the number one pick in the 2025 draft, who will be picking? Dallas Mavericks.
The Dallas Mavericks number one pick, primed to get Cooper Flagg. How do you feel about Cooper Flagg to Dallas, Jarvis, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Lively, Anthony Davis, Gafford? That team is already defensively stout, needs some offense, and could always use some defense. How would that make you feel about that Dallas team, Jarvis?
Nah, bigs are stacked in Dallas, you know. So I think they're going to have to really see who's on the chopping block to get Cooper Flagg. Because I just don't see you're going to have – it's going to be crowded, you know, in the paint and everything. Even though Cooper Flagg, you know, he's a stretch, you know. He's not really just a paint player. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to be on the chopping block. They're going to have to decide who. But if Dallas was to manage to get the number one pick, this would be Nico's saving grace. Mm. He might actually be able to show his face in Dallas if they do get the number one pick. So, especially if getting Cooper Flagg, a talent like that. I just hope his college game translates. I hope he don't be like another Tyler Hansborough, you know, another J.J. Redick. So, hopefully it translates, you know, well to the NBA. We all know how that goes.
J.J. did have a good catch-and-shoot career. Tyler Hansborough, I do understand. He was supposed to be psycho. T never quite got psycho. Maybe was a little disturbed, but that's about it. Rob! Do I sense conspiracy theory on you with Dallas for the number one pick?
And for Durag's own, please.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they just lost a superstar. They're about to gain basically one of the best prospects since, what, Zion or whoever, basically, yeah. in the draft. Like, this Wimby, is a highly, Wimby. Or Wimby, excuse me, highly touted, very much sought after. Very much basically needed to save, you know, Nico's life. Because they going to go after boy. And, I mean, I think when you get basically got Cooper Flagg basically can play the three. You got Kyrie basically playing point still. And you got Anthony Davis basically playing the 4-5. I think you really going it's going to be stacked, but it's going to be stacked in a good way. And I think that they'll make it work. And so I think it's going to happen. It's going to be some frozen envelopes. It's going to be some, you know, shenanigans. They're going to shenanigan. Like, I honestly think, even though the Dallas Mavericks got a 1.8 chance of basically winning the NBA draft lottery, I think they're going to basically win it out. Because in the last time somebody had those similar odds, 2014, Cleveland Cavaliers, when they selected Andrew Wiggins. So, I mean, this is a level of precedent where it comes to conspiracy, conspiracies. And I think that this is going to be another one. So, a decade after, we're going to basically have similar shit that basically is going to end up being to Dallas's favor. I really think that's going to happen that way.
I just want to say this. If that was to happen, Rob, I'm not even going to lie to you. If they were to pick up Cooper Flagg at the number one pick and his game translates, Dallas probably is in the finals in the next couple of years and they're fighting for a championship.
Everybody stay healthy.
It's so much stay healthy. Like, that stay healthy line is basically lifting, you know, at least the state of Dallas right now, or at least the state of Texas right now. So, good luck with that one.
Stay healthy. Yeah.
Bold strategy.
Stay healthy. Yeah. Yeah. Bold strategy, Cotton. Bold strategy. Now, with that being said, that is the Bramigos podcast first annual NBA lottery draft prediction. But while we're in the NBA, we must say this. Draymond, we need you to fucking stop this, though. We need you to stop this. Come on, bro. Only an angry black man says that he's not an angry black man. And this is coming from three black people.
Very much black.
Just want to say this. Three black people are saying, only angry black men whenever we're really angry black. We never bring this up any other time. And right now, you're making us look bad. You're making us look bad. I understand you're educated. I understand all that, bro. You're making money. One of the most important people on that Warriors team.
Before y'all get into it, I just want to say one thing. Draymond, if you feel like you were destined to play football and not basketball, it's a little bit too late. You know, whatever hostility you got going on in your personal life, you know, you don't need to try to break the technical foul record.
I mean,
I personally believe he could have been a wrestler, dog, with all of the dirty shit he does, bro. He could have been a black Ric Flair, bro, poking the elbow and shit and kicking people in the nuts. Could have had a different career, bro. He just could have had a different career.
Can I give y'all his quote that he said the other night after he received, you know, yet another technical foul for his action on the court.
Please,
quote, I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family, Green said after the Warriors lost. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda trying to make me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous. What's ridiculous is that quote. It makes no sense of context, no sense of anything, because it makes it to where he's like, I am great at what I do. It kind of reminds me of the Russell Westbrook quotes when he was talking about his name. Understanding that basically his kids are getting teased and he didn't like it, the smut being put on his name because of his bad play, or the play that really wasn't bad, but it was more like it wasn't stat nerd, you know, chic. And so, but the thing with Draymond is, what has basically befuddled me when it came to Draymond is that he is still respected by his peers, because like he's fucking his peers up. Like he choked Rudy Gobert. He just hit Naz Reid in the face. He's been hitting many players in the face on national TV, and basically it cries foul or cries wolf. Like, oh, they just teasing me. They just picking on me. They just trying to make me seem like I'm the bad guy. Motherfucker, because you are. Like, it's not a thing of, okay, he gives hard fouls, he's a little bit aggressive on defense. No, you hitting people. And the thing is, it's not fights, it's hits. So it's not in a point of like, okay, he's getting in the tussles with motherfuckers. This dude is just out and about hitting dudes. And basically then like, what is everything? What's going on? Because I remember hearing the video, like one of the interviews with Shaq about his aggressive nature. And he's like, man, it seemed like he was like, man, they just trying to make this out to be something that it's not. Like, he's like a fucking psychopath. Like, everybody, everywhere is just picking on Draymond, making him to be this some type of dude. Like, nobody else is giving hard fouls. Nobody else is playing aggressive. It's just you. Everybody picking on you. That they want to make you the angry black man in a league full of black men that ain't like they different backgrounds, come from like an aggressive, whatever. They trying to make you this. And this whole, I'm a successful-headed black man with a great family. I ain't got shit to do with you hitting motherfuckers in the face. And I ain't even talking about Jordan Poole. I ain't even basically going to bring that shit into it. I'm bringing up you basically beating up your peers on the basketball court and basically saying like, everybody is wrong except me. Dog, if everybody smells something and you the one that basically is stinking, it's you. It's you.
Yes.
You need to stop. You need to wash yourself of your sins of what you basically are doing to these dudes, dog. Like, you're doing this. This is nobody else. This is you. And you need to wake up and basically see that you need to stop. If this is all about you need this competitive edge, you need this to keep you going, that's something else that you need to work out with your therapist, not on somebody's face, dog. That's not where this needs to be. These, if anything, because I'm a guy, we're all baseball fans. I've been a proponent of these pitchers even though it's kind of stopped, these pitchers needed to stop beating these motherfuckers when basically they pimped out home runs, because it only seemed like it was one-sided. It was only seemed like it was going one way. I prefer fights. I wrote a whole blog post about how there should be fighting in MLB because of shit like that. Let these these cats can't fight in the NBA because people in Wyoming go clutch their pearls at black men being aggressive. That's where it's like, you guys got to basically say like, hey, dude, you got to chill, because this going to come to blows, and it should come to blows sooner or later, because this shit got to stop. And you ain't going to just keep hitting me like this. We both grown men trying to go to work. Stop doing this bullshit, Draymond. You got to stop. Wake the fuck up and stop.
You know what? I blame one incident on this. I don't know if y'all know this, but I blame this on Andrew Bogut in the NBA. And I'm explaining why. Back in 2013, whenever Blake Griffin was trying to chase Draymond Green ass after he hit him, and they ejected Blake and then said it was a mistake, y'all should have let Blake Griffin put muscles on Draymond Green ass back then, and we wouldn't have these problems. Not
stamp out a small fire before it becomes a wild
one. Always. Didn't Smokey the Bear tell us to put out the small fire?
Also, the Lakers should have let Metta World Peace put them hands on. But Draymond kind of backed away in that game. He was like,
I would too. Maybe that's what, he's had some hits too, where it was like, because remember the, bah! Like,
yeah,
yep,
I mean, maybe that's where he got it from. He's like, I see, I see the vision. I see the vision, Meta. I see where y'all could do this.
Maybe that game between the Lakers was a crossing of the guards. Maybe that's what that was.
You got the juice now. You got the juice now, Dre.
Yeah, you got the juice now, Draymond. From Metal World to Draymond Green, this is how we passing it on. But they should have let Blake Griffin whip his ass. Blake Griffin was running behind him to go give him some. You should have let this happen, NBA. We wouldn't have this problem now. Have y'all forgot some of the stuff that this man has done? Look, he kicked LeBron in the nuts in 2016. He punched Jordan Poole in October 2022. He stomped on Sabonis' chest in 2023.
Yep. And was mad that people was mad about that too.
Come on, bro. He had Rudy Gobert. He was trying to execute a rear naked choke, goddammit. No UFC. Whenever I see this shit, I watch it all the time. He was trying to give him some. He was going for the neck. He was trying to make him submit, okay? Y'all have to address this. Y'all have to let him. You know what? Next time the Warriors play Detroit, y'all let Isaiah Stewart peel off on him. We about to see how much he got left in the tank. Because Isaiah Stewart been wanting to get him some of some of these. You go ahead and fire him. And everybody back the hell up. Ref, don't y'all stop shit around here. I wish I could be. Don't y'all stop shit around here. Y'all let him get to him.
Malice part two? What?
Boy, let him whip his ass out there. If Isaiah Stewart going to put hands on Draymond, let him whip his ass.
That'd be the marquee fight. Like, real shit. Because Isaiah Stewart is coming up there, too. But Isaiah Stewart is actually trying to fight. Like, fight. Yeah.
They didn't put his hands on Draymond. We going to see how much gas Draymond got left in the tank. He might whip him in the, hey, man, look, you know, I did some bad shit in my life. I'm looking for him to whip the Miss Sealy into that nigga's ass. That's what I want right now. He's going to whip him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all, for all my transgressions. I'm so sorry about this. Because something got to get right around him. Something got to get right, and y'all are not letting it happen. I'd have been let that shit happen.
Draymond talking about, I'm sorry, mister. I'm sorry, mister.
Duh. I'm sorry, Mr. Silva. I'm sorry for all my transgressions of the past. Cause this gotta happen, though. Too long, bro. Now that we've gotten that off our chest and we've addressed Draymond Green and all of his angry black madness,
let's talk about another aggressive person.
Yes, NFL. Cowboys get George Pickens. Now, Jarvis, first, I'm going to let you go. Yeah. You. I'm going to let you tell us how much do you like this trade for your Cowboys?
First, I was just excited. Jerry wanted to make a move. I thought it was a satire page. I was looking at it first. And then I was like, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, last season, how did he end last season? One catch for 8 goddamn yards. He was supposed to be the man. Now, maybe because Dak is throwing him the ball, he might have a little more success, which I think he'll be a little more wide open with CD on the other side. He'll have a lot more opportunities to show what he can do and maybe live up to that name that people have been giving him. I wasn't impressed, but I guess due to the quarterbacking situation in Pittsburgh last season, you know, you kind of got to, you know, kind of excuse some things. So I just want to see what he can do. And I want to see if Dak can get him the ball. I want to see what kind of routes he runs, you know, under the Cowboy playbook. So that's what I want to see, you know. So with that, I'm excited because, you know, we have another piece. So I'm just ready to see, you know, maybe we can finally get out this 3-decade slump.
Okay. Huh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hold on, Rob.
Okay.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the show where me and Rob speculate and talk shit about the Cowboys. So if you want to end here, we can go right here. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. This would be the day. This will be the year. We haven't heard that one before from Cowboys fans, have we? I'm just saying, like, all right, so my pops, who is now a Steelers fan, long story, don't want to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
He basically had been watching Pickens, and his whole thing was, because you said routes, like his whole thing has been like he basically gives up on his routes way earlier than what he should. And so, like, is this going to be the time where now you got mid-ass Brian Schottenheimer installing his mid-ass offense coming in here and basically having CeeDee Lamb basically be the guy on the other side. Is this going to be somewhere? Okay, now we have a guy. Now you only have to be the number two. You only have to worry about that. So you basically can now do whatever it is that you need to do. And then you got, you know, Turpin and Tolbert and all the other cats that they got out there. You can basically get your, you know, one-on-ones, because CD going to be on the other side, possibly getting a double. So this is going to be like what it is. Like, we're going to, because we're basically, I've been saying George Pickens was a good receiver. I've been saying that he was a dude. But yeah, he hasn't really shown up well. And there's been people that's like, hey, no, you are not who they say you are. Or you're not who you think you are, because he was giving comments about the Steelers also. I like the move overall, because, I mean, they gave up, I think, like a third and like a pick swap, you know, essentially. Yeah, like generally nothing. And because I think he was like a third round pick or whatever. So it was kind of a one for one almost. But like, if this guy is going to be something that is going to help the Cowboys get from mediocrity to upper mediocrity, I think it's a valuable trade. Like, and I think that's probably the trajectory, that's not a word. Just like the Cowboys, basically in the playoffs, not a thing. But like the trajectory of where they basically are going to be going, you know, is going to be, you know, a notch up from where they were. So I think it's good. Nate, what do you think? Where are you at?
Okay. Now, see, here's where I speculate and talk even more shit than what you did. What did you say about their offensive coordinator? He's going to install a what?
Just like Shea Gilgeous Alexander, a MIDI.
Okay. See, here's the problem. I am on record saying that Dak is not the problem. Y'all go get mid-ass motherfuckers to come in here and put their offense in and say, Dak, make me look great. And it's happened a few times. And this is where y'all get the false hope of we gonna win. Because he makes that shit look better than what it is. And then everybody blame him whenever it don't work. But nobody says shit about the offense. Matter of fact, the offensive coordinators fall back into the bush like Homer Simpson on The Simpsons. I'ma just go ahead and fade back up out of here. Because they blaming him and not me. And it's clearly their fault. Jerry, first of all, needs to pay an offensive coordinator to come in there. You got the money? Buy one up. Buy one up. Just buy him. I'm going to say it again. It's not Dak. It's who you got calling the shots. Jarvis, you should know this. You cook food. You can put a motherfucker in there with every ingredient in the world. If he don't know what the fuck he doing, this shit ain't going to come out right.
You're right.
And this is what keeps happening over there. Y'all keep saying it's going to happen because Dak makes it happen one time.
Yep.
That's why I was hoping he would have ended up somewhere else, because I promise you, if he ends up with a better offensive coordinator, he going to make a playoff run. And all of that shit about how bad of a quarterback he is, for all of you people at home, he don't have a positive playoff record. Bitch, do you know how the playoffs work? Like, I just want to ask you this. You know it's one and you out of there. So if you lose, you lose. There is no get back. There is no run back on this fight.
Three out of five. Four out of six.
There's no three out of five. This is your one chance. And if you miss and your defense play like ass, your shot is gone. It's literally a team effort. The quarterback can go throw for 600 yards. He can go get 50. If the other team get 51 because of the defense, it don't matter. That's why I'm saying y'all got somewhat better. Like he said. Upper tier mediocrity is what I'm looking for this to be. Because the first thing I'm looking for to happen is Pickens and CeeDee Lamb going to be at each other through. The first one that Dak looked to over the other one, somebody about to be talking shit about the other one. And Michael Parsons don't help this, because he want money and he's worried about when am I going to get paid, okay? And he worried about, look how great I am. And he's so damn busy talking on the goddamn podcast instead of going chase people. Like Rob said, you are the best. Go get that nigga in the league. Go get that nigga. Nigga, just stop talking on this podcast and go get his ass. Don't worry about nothing else. Nothing else. We don't see Max Crosby out there hollering about, well, you know, you.
No, he keeps his crazy on the inside.
Yeah, he just keeps his crazy in there. Look, if you need to talk to somebody, go talk to a therapist. Hell, I don't care if you go sit in the strip club and talk to the strippers about your issues. Don't do it in front of a mic. I don't want to hear it in front of a mic right now. Go talk that shit through with somebody else and then go get 13 sacks this season. Okay? That's what you do. That's what Dallas wants you to do. You want to get paid? Go get them. Go right ahead.
No. Brandon, we already, as Kyle Boy fans, we know what the issues have been over the past few decades. We know, you know, and you know, we recognize it. But, you know, it's not like we got the top two receiver in the league and always coming up short. And it's not like the refs.
We curse. That's the difference.
It's not like the refs are always bailing us out, you know, like somebody's Chiefs. But, you know, we make do what it do. Mm. Well, you know, we make do what it do. But that's all I'm going to say about that. You know, I wish I had a top two receiver, you know, that can go get 2,000 yards. But, hey.
I know y'all also wish that y'all had a Super Bowl in the past few years like us, too.
And he ain't top two. He number one. Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in the world right now.
Jerry just don't want to buy. I guess Kansas City writing them big checks, you know, I guess.
Nah. They ain't writing the big checks. They just go out there and win. Mm. We don't have a $1 billion playpen. Mm-hmm. We just got Arrowhead.
Oh, I thought I saw a flag.
We look. Hey.
That was good.
Got nowhere.
Yeah, we just went on the end. Just like y'all haven't caught a Super Bowl.
That was real. The refs said.
I mean, y'all caught up in mediocrity, just like he caught that, huh?
You know what's the bad part? We gave everybody all this time. Y'all still ain't caught it. Come on. We giving y'all an opportunity.
Who ain't caught nothing? I got three of them things.
Y'all ain't caught up. You know.
Got the same amount as you in less time.
Shoot, somebody quiet over there. How many? Oh,
no. Oh, we cursed. I told you, we cursed. That's a difference. Like, that's above me. Like, I can't really do shit about that. True. And that's like, all it means, like,
all
true.
All seriousness, that's how I feel about the Cowboys. I feel like we have the biggest curse being Jerry Jones.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mm.
Honestly, Jerry doesn't care that he's the problem.
They don't
get him out of the way. They can't push him out. I mean, come on, man, 9 years old. Force him to retire? Come on.
I mean, yeah. No, he's gonna be there. Probably even after, he's probably gonna be like, "Don't draft that motherfucker." Like, gonna write in his will or something like that. Like, don't give up Dak. Just sign him to another $1 billion contract.
Do not shop free agency.
Look, I told you, they go about actions the wrong way, bro. I live in a place that we call America. You might be tempted to push an old person down the steps around here if he's going to get a job done. And he's one hip break away from not being in the front office, as far as I'm concerned. So his son needs to be ready. I'd be like, "Dad, it's fucking this up. I don't know. Am I tripping by accident or some shit?" And go ahead and correct all this.
Like, what's that? Heart attack. Like, damn, yeah, it didn't work.
So now, as I go from the Cowboys, I'm gonna go east, and I'm gonna stop in New Orleans. Okay, so many of you at home may or may not have heard that Derek Carr is retiring, and the city of New Orleans might be in a second line right now as we're recording this. I'm just not sure yet. Okay, and as I told my fellow bro amigos earlier today, Derek Carr was just the no lube in the situation of the Saints getting fucked on the regular. Okay, he was not helping at all. Look, the Saints, Cam Jordan, he ain't got too many rides left in him, though. He's like the Ghost Rider. I ain't got too many. I gotta pass this somewhere else. Okay, and we not even gonna talk about Olave. Look, concussions and injuries and just bad management of the Saints have just plagued them.
Yep.
Can we all agree to that?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
It has been the worst of the worst. And Derek Carr made it no better. Now, I just want to let you know, Derek Carr, this ain't coming from me, but it is coming from me. Okay? The people of the state of Louisiana have not cared for you at all. Mm. I think I speak for about all 4 million and some odd people here who say they're happy that you retired.
Y'all ain't riding out in the car?
No. As a Louisiana born and raised, I enjoyed Derek Carr in the war. What are you talking about?
You only enjoy him saying that the Saints were worse than the Cowboys. It was a pissing contest of who has been the less worse over the last few years. And they just happen to be the worst.
I'm going to say this. It's a lifelong Louisiana-born Saints hater. This has put a big smile on my face for all the Saints fans who constantly rag on me year after year. Y'all got shafted. This is y'all's prize for passing on Shedeur Sanders. This is the fallout. It is about to happen. And now you need a Tyler Hero. That's what you need. We're going to see if you get a Tyler Hero. That's what you want. That's what you got. Make it work. Make it work.
Yeah. It was about to happen, though. I've seen most celebratory things about Derek Carr retiring today than any other positive thing that I've ever seen about Derek Carr. And I'm going to say this, Derek. Nobody wishes bad injury upon people. But whenever you're in a business and you give somebody the amount of money that the Saints gave you, I just want to say, for what you getting paid and going to get paid, you have swindled the good people of New Orleans out of hundreds of thousands of poor boys and tons of jumbo. They will be happy now if you give back to the community, or you have been giving back to the community. But as far as from a football perspective, they are so... I have seen people say good riddance. I have seen people say it could have happened faster. I have seen everything. And nobody's wishing anything bad upon you outside of they don't want you there. Okay? So this, my friends, is the time to hope that, I don't know, maybe Scarborough just pans out, maybe. Just hopefully. Just because... Spencer Rattler does, because you can only go up from here.
with what you got, can you go up?
And you can only hope to.
That's
the question. In Ohio, if they need to make a phone,
you can only hope to go up from here.
Cleveland got too many, so they need to connect. I can pass the number.
Like just hit them up right quick. Just see what they say. Just see what they talking about. Like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at their roster and I'm like, dude, like I don't see hope here. This is a land of
dudes I've ever heard.
I don't see any level of hope here, dog. Like, this is just
in a bottle of bourbon on Bourbon Street you can find hope. That's the only hope, because it ain't been there with Derek Carr. We gonna search for some hope in a bottle of this bottle of liquor, bro. Because that's the only way. You can only hope to go up from here. You can only, and some of you who watch the podcast maybe know, whenever it was just me and Rob. Me and Rob talked about this wasn't the move. This was not Derek Carr being, first of all, if the owner of a team who had this person decided to give up, and he was big on him. At some point, he came to the light, and that's what happened in Oakland, okay? He knew it wasn't much more there, okay? Y'all should have seen the same thing.
Desperate measures. There was no preparation.
And that's the problem right now.
There was no preparation post-Breeze, so they just had to take the baby. Should have begged him to come back that one last year.
His arm was shot.
They could have made it work for 1 year while they prepared better than what they was dealing with.
Look, his arm was shot, though. He was done. But now, hey, at least we can maybe bring in a bottle of lube, because Derek, like I said, Derek Carr was he was just the no lube in the situation, man. Maybe you can get something going. Maybe you can get something going, Saints fans. Maybe. Now, as we move from NFL to MLB, me and Rob talked about this earlier this year. Could this be the year that you get four teams in a division into the playoffs? And I'm pretty sure Rob is willing to stand on business with me when I say this. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
NL West, this looks like it can happen.
So I'm looking at the standings right now, and basically based on the wild card, you got the Dodgers, who is the best team in the NL, the 26-13 record. Then at the top of the wild card, you got the Padres, who's been great. You got the Giants, who's been great. And then you got the Phillies. It's in that last wild card spot. But right behind them, the Diamondbacks. Like, this, who's 2.5 games out of that final spot. And granted, this is, we're at the, what, quarter post of the season right now. So a lot can happen. But, like, this year, Like, the NL West is fucking crazy. Now, granted, I did say that, like, three central teams are going to make it. We ain't going to talk about that. That was AI Rob. But as far as the NL West is concerned, I did say that this was going to be hotly contested and there was going to be a maybe. I didn't see the Giants basically being as hot as they have been. I thought that they basically put a lot of pieces together and it was like, okay, this might work. But they've been killing it. Like, the Padres, I knew they were going to be great. Dodgers knew they were going to be great. But, like, yeah. And the Diamondbacks, I didn't really know, like, how well they were going to do, especially with Corbin Carroll coming back, like, or Corbin Carroll getting back into form and basically getting back to the all-star guy that he is. But, no, this has been crazy. And, I mean, this really could be the year that there's four playoff teams from one division. I mean, from one, from one division. Like, it's highly possible. And that's the crazy thing about it, because Milwaukee hasn't been great. Cardinals are not a playoff team. I will say that for sure. They are not a playoff team. They're good. They're a pretty good team. They're not a playoff team. The Reds have been very much up and down. Braves can basically get back up there, but it's going to be time to tell once Ronald Acuña Jr. comes back. Nats, their bullpen is so shit. I didn't realize how bad, like, their bullpen and their rotation is. Their bullpen is so goddamn bad. Like, we're up 4-0 on them right now. Like, I didn't realize they were that bad. They got a nice young squad, but it's just like, goddamn. And then, like, everybody else is just, you know, getting beat up down. Pirates being a big disappointment. They were going to be one of the teams I thought was going to make the playoff. But no, this is a great NL this year, and we're going to probably see some history.
Yeah, and in a league, whenever you're going to see great history, you're going to have a great loser. And that great loser is going to be Colorado.
Oh, my God. There is a very not safe for work analogy that I have for them, but I'll just keep it as a lot of people are going at them, and they are basically taking the losses on their face.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And they have no choice in this. They have no choice. And I'm a stand on great people of Colorado. Will you fucking listen to me and Rob whenever we telling y'all part of this shit got to do with that field, bro? Y'all do not believe us, and I'm going to stand on this hill 1,000 times and say this shit. The air is thin. The ball flies faster. There's no resistance there. It's negative 113 differential, and we're only a quarter away through the season. Y'all not paying attention to what we say. Bill of Dome.
I would say
climate control. They can take some of that legal marijuana money. They will make it right back.
That's what's going on. Y'all need to basically have a South Beach flu, and it needs to be basically made of weed. And, like, just high times. Just do something. Make a name out of it. Give them the best ones they get there. Y'all gonna need to have that. But I would say, in fairness, they are four of their six wins that they got this year have been at home. So, I mean, they've at least been making it happen there. But they are just so, like, somebody's got to take the pin, brother. Like, they have basically just been killed. And I didn't think they'd be this bad. I really didn't. But they have been getting their asses spanked, I tell you, spanked.
Right. The only other negative win differential right now is the Marlins at negative 69. Nice. They had 113. Yeah. 113.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talking, this is second to worst. And this is worse, but the line is really long till we get down here.
Like,
they're one right behind the other, but the gap is huge.
I think they're on pace to, like, lose, like, damn near 130 games or some shit like that. Like, they don't know, like, it's because, yes. I mean, they only got six wins right now. Like, we're a quarter of the way through the season, and they only have six wins.
Like, just saying it's impossible. That just sounds impossible.
I mean, if they keep on this, but what are we talking about? We're talking about a division that basically has four really good teams, and they're basically playing those really good teams more times than not. And so, like, it stands to reason that, yeah, they're going to kind of take an onslaught, but it's like, God damn, yeah, fight back, piss the bitch, something. Like,
that's my only rebuttal on the four teams making it. Granted, I do think it's a heavy possibility, but the fact of the interdivision play might come in play when they're playing each other. You know, it depends on how everybody else does in their own division. But I feel like that might come into play versus a 2 seed and or not a seed, but you know, the second place, you know, team in another division having more of an easier intra-division record.
And we gotta talk about injuries. Padres have like Fernando Tatis Jr. is a guy that gets hurt a bunch. Yeah. But Dodgers usually have like a shitload of injuries. They just have a shitload of people to replace those shitload of injuries. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible. And I mean, Giants, what? You got 45-year-old Justin Verlander? Like, I mean, it stands to reason that basically there's going to be some things that's going to bring some hiccups in this giddy up. But like, I mean, it's a strong possibility if they keep it going.
I do agree, though. Right. It's a possibility they are.
Yeah, they like I said, where there's winners, there's going to be a loser. We are 23% way through the season, okay? So that means that we multiply roughly times 4 or 5-ish. The Rockets might only win 30 games this year, and that's me being generous.
That's what I'm saying.
30 games, and they could lose, like Rob said, up in 130 games, though. They could lose that many games. And just so we correct, they didn't win 4 at home. And 2 on the road. They are 4-15 at home and 2-17 on the road.
Sad.
If I'm not mistaken, Rob them put 12 runs on them and Rob them was hurt during the time. Their lineup was hurt and put 12 runs on.
That's a shame.
They're bad.
You can't win.
They're bad.
Said it a million times. Try to control what you can control in your house.
It could work. Building a dome could work. Just at least help. It might help. Like, it might help you pinch the bitch. Just something.
Look, all I'm going to say is this. Their last few games at home, 8-6, 10-2, 11-1, 13-9.
You figure if it's your home field, you know how to knock them out better than the opposing teams. Come on now. Yeah. You play there all the time. It's your home field. You're supposed to be able to have it all figured out, how to play ball in the United States.
Your team swept them. In their house, 6-3, 8-2, 2-1. Kansas City, even though they had a game postponed, Kansas City felt the ass, 4-3, 7-4, 6-2. The Nationals even won 12-11, 3-2. In their house, control your controllables, Rob. That's all I'm gonna say. They just try to control the controllables. That's all I'm gonna say, though.
Exactly. And
regardless of how difficult or easy your stadium is, you should know how to win in your own stadium. That's just
I wish we had money to go because the cheapest tickets over there are $7. We could just go watch them get their ass.
That sounds like highway robbery to watch a fucking Colorado Rockies game. Like, if I want to go see somebody beat up, I just go like find somebody just in the fight or something. Like down the street.
Get a couple $50 one way, $7 tickets.
Bruh, I'm telling you, they get demolished, though. Mm-hmm. And it's not even funny. It's not even funny. But speaking of people getting demolished, WWE backlash this weekend.
Where?
St. Louis.
Thank you. Yes. The 314, baby. Let's go.
Now, Rob, I heard that you had a game that you wanted to play with us and that we're going to do today. So go ahead and introduce your game and explain the rules to the people.
So I'm still dressed like a game show host, so I'm going to play a game with you guys. It's called... Yeah, nah, or blah. And the rules are pretty simple. I'm going to basically talk about the matches that we have on the Backlash card that is in St. Louis, you know, at the former Savage Center, Scott Trade Center. I don't even know what it's called now. Keel Center. Like, that's what it was called when I was a kid. But it's basically going to be there. I don't think it's going to be a Shea Fitz, but it's going to be there. And so I want to basically see what y'all thought about each match, whether it was yeah, nah, or blah. And so first match up, Dominic Mysterio versus Penta Jarvis. Yeah, nah, or blah.
I'm going to go because Dominic, he's really stepped up his game. Of course, Penta is going to be the draw. He's going to be a draw. I'm always against just looping in all the Mexican wrestlers together. I hate how they do that and hoped that they wouldn't do that with Penta. But inserting them in a title picture with Dom, I think it's kind of fitting because of the backgrounds of where they come from. And everything. It's kind of fitting. It's going to tell a story. I think something drastic is going to happen in that match. You know, that's going to be the match where we get some type of maybe a turn, I'm predicting, or something like that. But it's going to be a banger of a wrestling match itself. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And they are both going to put on. And I think we're going to get, I'm thinking, match of the night.
Nate? Yeah? Nah?
In the words of my boy, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm going to give you all hell yeah. The reason I'm excited for this match is because I've enjoyed what Dom has become. I'm with you, though, Jarvis. I don't like whenever they kind of just put the Spanish wrestlers together and be like, hey, go make a match. But I do think that this could be a very good match. Penta, hell of a wrestler. Dominic, not only has he become a good wrestler, but he's a great personality. And just like in boxing, styles make fights. Personalities kind of make fights here in the WWE. Dominic is a great personality. Yeah. Penta, if you watch interviews, great personality, great person. I enjoyed this. This is going to be a great match. Unlike one match that I think that you might mention later on, but I'm not going to touch that just yet. What do you think?
So I am actually going to go kind of contrary to y'all, and I'm going to go blah. And here's why. It's because I think it's a point. Not even a nah. Because, I mean, I don't want to disrespect and say it's a nah, because the thing about it is it's going to be a good match. I think these two guys are basically formidable against each other. I just think it's a transition match. I don't think it's something that basically I feel like I need to see. Because I think that it's like the more bigger actions are going to come down the line, where it's like you got the fall of Dominic, the fall of Judgment Day basically upon us. You got Penta, who chances are, you know, we'll see if he actually wins this match or how this match actually goes. But it's like, it's just going to be a transition. And so for me, it's more blah than yeah. But I'm going to stick with blah, because it's a transition match versus like something I'm like, oh, this is, it seemed like it's going to be formal. Yeah. So, but no, I'm not hating on it, but
that's a good point of view. You know, never said it like that.
But for the second, or did you have something, Nate?
No.
For the second match, the U.S. title match between Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, fatal four way for the U.S. title. Nate. Yeah. Nah.
Yeah. I want to see this match. Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, LA Knight, Fatu. It's a lot of personalities here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wrestling style. This is, you know, Jacobs. This is his time to kind of submit himself, saying this is my run. That's what I see in this match. LA Knight, huge personality. Some people say, oh, he copied the Rock. F y'all. I don't know the people who don't like him. Like, that, I don't understand why. I just don't understand why.
He's great.
Yeah, he really is. And putting Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre in this, I feel like this is going to be a banger match. Now, if I'm going to say, this is my pick for match of the night. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is the one that I feel like is going to be match of the night. I think this is going to be the one that, whenever they're going to come out with the ratings, this is going to be, like, I predict, the highest rated match on this card. Okay? That's how I feel.
All right, Jarvis. Yeah. Nah. What?
I'm going to go ahead on and give a quote of somebody that people say I look like. I don't see it. I'm going to go with my boy Angelo Dawkins.
Yeah, but I don't see it either.
Exactly. But I give it that kind of yeah, because while I did have see as my match of the night, story wise, this is probably the one I'm the most excited about. I feel like there's going to be a lot of storytelling within the four people. I think somehow Solo gets involved. I think this might lead up to the Jacob versus Solo. It's a lot of ways you can go. It's a lot of different outcomes you could take. And honestly, at this point, I don't really know where they're trying to go with it. So I'm very excited for the storytelling in this match. I don't think you're going to get a lot of spots with who is in it, maybe, because some of the people, like Drew is not really that much of a spot person. You know, Daniel's not that big of a spot person. So it might not be a spot match, you know, but I feel like the storytelling is going to be great. Jacob's going to do it. He's going to put on, you know, and everybody else could put on, you know, for their style. I'm very excited. I don't disagree with Nate. It definitely has potential to be match of the night. No, I'll see you and see what it's bringing.
What do you think, Rob?
To quote the great Stone Cold, Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, nah. This is going to be not only match of the night, but I think this is going to be a match of the year candidate. I honestly am very excited for this match. This is full big meaty men slapping meat. This is everything that basically anybody would ever really want in a match. Because these dudes have been, all of them have been basically putting up stellar runs, both in and out of the ring. Damian Priest has been absolutely great for like the long, for at least a year since the Bad Bunny match. Drew McIntyre has basically been great since the pandemic. LA Knight has basically been great since he got in there. Jacob Fatu has just been great since birth. And like all of these dudes basically coming together in a fatal four way in the Lou. It's going to be one of the best matches, I think, of the year. I truly think it, like, this is going to be something that we talk about, I think, for a while. Like, I cannot wait for this match, to be honest.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. This is definitely going to be a good one.
Yeah. But the next one. I feel like that could be main event. It could. Well, it could, but it wouldn't be, because I will talk about that in a minute. But I will basically say, the next match, Pac McAfee versus Gunther. I'll go first. I'll go first on this. And that's because I need to say, for one, this match is a mid between nine blah. And I'll put it like this. I'll put it like, well, no, I'll say it's a yeah. And I'll put it low yeah. It's a very low yeah. Because it's basically like this. I like Pat McAfee's promo that he gave on last week's Raw of basically talking about, he's given basically great babyface promos when it comes to Gunther. Like, I think he's basically been putting up a lot of good promos coming at trying to get this match and what it is. What I don't like about it is Michael Cole, you are a bad friend. I mean, a really bad friend. And here's why. Because this motherfucker has been fighting for your honor. Pat McAfee has been fighting for you to basically say, like, hey, I am going for my boy. I'm helping my boy over here because he just got bullied by a big dude that's much bigger than his size. He's been questioning him, saying, man, you really up for this? You really want to do this? I'm like, if either one of these two dudes basically got a fight, we all get in the fight. All right. I'm not going to be like, say if they coming at my honor, I'm going to be like, hey, man, why didn't y'all go with dude? I'm going to be like, thank you. I'm be like, thank you for having my back, dog, because that's my guys. Like, if they basically did the same thing, I'd be like, man, what the fuck? Like, why are you questioning me for basically having your back? Why are you basically like, man, why did you fight old boy? Because we boys. That's why. Like, don't question them. Just basically be like, thank you. And I mean, leave it at that. But like, oh man, you got a tall task ahead of you. What is this? What is that? He defending your honor, dog. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, dog? But that is what that is. So, Jarvis.
Yeah.
Fiske. Yeah, nah, or blah.
I'm going to go on the opposite side of you, Rob. I'm going to go major, major blah.
Oh, wow. I
have no interest in this whatsoever. I think they just trying to keep Gunther in the picture. When Pat McAfee comes up, let's be honest. Pat McAfee, I feel like when they did the whole thing, he came out of left field, like they just threw something on Gunther to keep him on TV. We're going to go in there. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear the bell ring.
Yeah.
2 seconds later, we're going to hear the bell ring because we probably just went get something to drink. And we're going to miss the whole 2 seconds of two power bombs that Pat McAfee. No, you know, he might get one offensive play. He might do the hop up on the rope and try to slam Gunther down. But if you go to the bathroom or you go to the kitchen, you probably gonna miss the whole thing. Ding, ding, ding. 2 seconds. Ding, ding, ding. That's how I feel. I'm looking forward to them proving me wrong. Like, I'm all for being proved wrong. I'm all for being surprised. But this is where I bet on it. That's my smoke break match. Hope I
run back in. All right, Nate. Yeah, nah, blah.
With Vizky. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Rob said it the best. Michael Cole has been a horrible friend. And on top of that, WWE, you are insulting my intelligence. Okay? You are insulting my intelligence with this. Pat McAfee versus Gunther. You want me to believe. Now, I know he played football, but he was a kicker. He was a kicker. We've seen kickers get punked with people iffing at them on the field, okay? This just master monster heel is just supposed to, you want me to believe that Pat McAfee is going to give him a run. Not saying maybe he couldn't, but in this world, this person that you built up so high, now you want him to be on equal terms with Pat McAfee? Like, that's what you're telling me? That's literally what you're telling me right now. And then, like Rob said, you want me to believe that Michael Cole in this world is really going to be, like, not thankful at all for not getting beat up? Like, we didn't see something similar to this years ago with Jerry Lawler but Jerry Lawler was actually a wrestler. You couldn't put Booker T out here. You couldn't give me Booker T, Wade Barrett, anybody else that was a former wrestler that's done commentary. You give all me right. Pat McAfee. This is the guy you choose. Oh, all right, WWE. I'm with Viscy. He going to take a smoke break. I might go take a crap while y'all doing this on the something. Fix my food or some shit. Just put the TV on real loud so I can hear who win. That's it. Dude. Be like, huh? I can hear the winner. That's it. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I feel about this. This is just a blah. Just nah. I don't want this.
So it's not in a blah.
Yeah, it's all of just anything native. Just keep this away from me.
Thank right. you, but next.
All right, so next match, we got the Women's Intercontinental Championship match. Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch. Nate, are you yeah, nah, or blah?
Okay, I'm on the fence with this because this happened quickly, okay? I don't see, this wasn't a real build-up. This wasn't anything to this. I'm kind of like, I'm a little interested to see what y'all going to do. But then at the same time, I'm like, how bad can WWE mess this up? Where are we going with this? Like, you're making Becky basically go heel. You're making Becky go heel. Is Lyra going to lose the championship? Are we going to have a heel champion? Where what are we doing? What are we doing? I got to get my daughter Trump on. What are we doing? What are we doing? I'm trying to figure this one out. I'm interested to see what happens. But if you ask me, hey, bro, you really into this one? I'm like, I just want to see what happens. Because you did a heel switch fast. It's a lot going on. Like I said, WWE, sometimes I feel like y'all reaching ahead and y'all just be like, okay, we're going to do this. And that's it. There's no build up to it. There's no nothing. It's like, okay, heel switch, championship switch, heel champion, blah, blah, blah. Like you trying to generate something, but y'all don't have a feel for what's going on. And I'm not going to blame Triple H. I'm not going to blame him just yet. But I am going to blame you motherfuckers in creative, dude. I'm going to just blame Triple H in saying, okay, we'll try that. Because I feel like that was his answer to that. Okay, we'll try that.
We'll see. We'll go with it.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm going to blame y'all in creative first. But if I keep getting a bunch of this BS, then I'm going to blame him. I'm going to give him a G pass right now. What do y'all?
Viski? Yeah, nah, blah.
All right. This is where I'm in on it. Not a yeah. Must like not only because I'm not sold on Lyra. Sorry if I'm watching. Not sold on it. Still think this would have been, I would have been a hell yeah if the WWE would have listened and put the belt on Dakota Kai, because I felt like she could have made a better story with Becky. Now, so I'm not a real, it has potential, because you know I get the story, I understand the story, but I also not understand why every few months there's an opening on WWE's creativity. Stuff like
this. Yes,
man, and they have potential though. Like I say, I'm not totally a nah, because you know Becky, she got a chance to turn heel. Most 99% chance, I feel like she's walking out with the title. There's no reason for Lyra to really keep it. I don't see her really producing it or going anywhere, and I don't see it bringing her to the next level. What I think he needs to do is put some prestige on the title first.
And there you go.
Becky is going to do so. I'm only a slight nah because of who's in the match with Becky, but overall, it's like a borderline because I think Becky's going to really make it more interesting and get me out of my funk from this match. That's
all right, I will say I am upper blah. So like honestly, I'm upper blah, and because it was a low blah, but I saw like Lyra's segments with Becky, and I thought they were pretty good, and I thought, you know, okay, there is something to her. But it's just like, yeah, I'm not there where I'm like, oh, I want to watch this. I got to see this. Yeah, I'm with you. I would have rather had Dakota be the champ. I think they really are wanting Lyra to be more than what I can see out of her. But like, I'm not with it. I'm not with her. I'm not there yet. With Becky, I don't think Becky takes the title. I think Lyra retains. It just, yeah, like, but I think it would be better with Becky as the champ just because this is like, I think that she would be better with the title, basically being that person that people can run up against and have and like be that champion, like knows what to do basically and win like one of the only other titles outside of the US title that she hadn't won ever. So, but it would be kind of weird that Lyra basically won the title basically what? Not too long ago, and now it's going to probably ass it up. But, nah, I think it's better with Becky than it is with Lyra. I do really think that. So, but the last match on the card, and the reason why it's the main event, because you got the Undisputed World Undisputed WWE Champion, John Cena, going against Randy Orton from...
The Lou.
Thank you. And then that's why you basically have this, especially when you got it in St. Louis. I mean, yeah. But Vesky, yeah, nah, or blah.
I thought real hard about this ever since he was announced. I'm a nah, middle of nah. I'm not going to say, but of course not, because something's going to come out of it. Nah, because I'm slightly on the fence that I feel like this was a little too early in the retirement run for Cena. Mm-hmm. I feel like it could have been closer to the end. And I'm also a nah because I think we might get the Cena punches the referee. Like Orton did, you know, back in the day, type of ordeal. So that's what I'm thinking of why I'm a
dusty finish.
They could definitely change my mind and surprise me for a year. But that's the only reason I would say I'm a nine, because I feel like we might get the BS finish. I just think this is just, I kind of feel like they're doing this as a backlash filler. Because if you look at the past, most of the time, Roman never did backlash after Mania. This was always more of a mid-card tag team kind of pay-per-view, fallout type of pay-per-view. So I'm real interested to see what they do since they put the WWE champion on the card.
Nate? Yeah? Nah? Or blah?
Okay. I'm torn on this match. I want to give it a yeah, but a small yeah. Only because it's Cena versus Orton, and we know the history of what this is and what this means in a John Cena going away. Could this be a good match? Do I expect it to be better than the Cody match? Yes. I expect this to be better than the Cody match. I really do. The Cody match was just, it was too long. It was too drawn out. Even though it gave me what I want. I'm still savoring y'all little tears of Cody not holding on to this. Just want to let y'all know that. But I think this is going to be better than the Cody match. It's going to be something entertaining. Like you said, Vizky, it's a little early. I thought this would have been saved because Angle isn't there. Like, Angle, people forget Ruthless Aggression that kicked off John Cena was him versus Angle. Like, so we don't have Angle anymore, but we do have this person who's still with him. And it's like, okay, they have a long history. Why so early? Something else has to give. Do I think it'll be a better wrestling match? Yes. Do I think I'm going to get more out of it? Yes. Do I think John Cena's going to retain? Yes. I think he's probably going to ride this out for a while. Am I happy with this? With him retaining? Yes. Because I don't want to see Cody. I don't want to hear that stupid theme song. I don't want to hear that shit.
Wrestling only has one world film.
Yeah. And it ain't them. But am I happy to watch Cena wrestle? Yes. Knowing that this hopefully he just doesn't quit cold turkey, okay? He pop up here and there, you know? He does his thing. Small yeah for this match. I'm thinking out of these five matches, this is going to be the one for me that's going to be directly in the middle of it wasn't the best, it wasn't the worst, but it was a match nonetheless, and it gave me some form of entertainment. That's how I feel about this.
So, I am a yeah. A very much yeah. Why? Okay. Because, of course, I am going to side with 314, even though I don't think Randy Orton's from the same 314 that I am from. But I will basically side with Randy Orton. I'll side with this match actually being, you know, a good match because this is very much two guys. Randy Orton's still good. He still got it. Cena is all right. Oh, but, yeah. Like, this is a, you know, Ghost of Christmas Past match. Like, this is something that basically, you know, they've been talking about their matches that they've had in the past. This is a rivalry one. Not, I wouldn't say his best rivalry, but it's up there as far as John Cena goes. So, I mean, I like it basically as a level of closure that basically, you know, we will be able to see, you know, right there in front of us. So, like, no, I'm yeah on this match. Like, I am wanting to see it. I'm not as anticipating as I am with the fight at Fatal 4-Way, but as far as what it is, I am a yeah. Like, I would say that I'm a yeah for it, you know, because we threw on Forecast, got a six together. Like, that's what has to happen. You know, like, you make it out the loo, you know, you make some of yourself, like, it means something. These people don't know that, dog. The people, like, us 314 people, man, like, we ride out, you know, we ride down King's Highway doing whatever, man. We always out here basically doing, like, we make it out, we stick together, we click tight, like, butt cheeks, dog. We here. Us. I'm just saying, man, look, that's what I'm saying. So, that was the first iteration of here, yeah, nah, oh, blah. Thank you for the people that are basically going to be, you know, wrestling in front of us. But yeah, that's our first iteration.
Yeah. And I feel like this is one of those cards, like you said, Jarvis, it should have been some tag team matches on this card.
Mm.
It should have been something to shake up the tag division, get him a little spotlight right now. The Gunter match is...
They already missed the WrestleMania card. You know,
yeah.
Street
Profits
on the next
scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should have been something in the works for them to be here. Look, you motherfuckers wonder why y'all stay getting fired at WWE Creative. Because whenever these pay-per-view ratings come back and the critics get done talking, it's like, it's chopping block week, okay? Y'all have to think creatively. Whenever, and this is what I feel. WrestleMania should always be the biggest build-up, okay? Mm-hmm. So if I was to look at wrestling from a build-up perspective, I need things to build up and come to a finish that aren't WrestleMania worthy before we get too close to WrestleMania. And after WrestleMania is my restart. It's like a fiscal year, okay? That's how this needs to be thought about. But, you know, it's somebody over there in creative saying, but we could do it like this. And that's why your ass is going home next, okay? I just want to let you know, you're doing too much. You're not thinking about this the right way. And I'm going to use this as an example. Go back and watch. I'm going to say that let's use the 99 through about 2004-ish. Matter of fact, you can say 97 to about 2004-ish.
Mm.
Everything in wrestling had a build-up and a climax. And anything that was on WrestleMania had a little bit longer build-up and a longer runway to get to where we needed to be. So at WrestleMania, it was a star-studded performance. Think about the Shawn Michaels matches. Think about the Undertaker matches. Some of the best matches that we've had didn't even involve a goddamn title. But yet y'all believe that throwing belts around is going to make me come and watch. Give me the story. Let it build up. I know some people saying, well, they were over the top back in the Attitude Era. But guess what, though? It was so goddamn entertaining that we all was watching. just cars being filled up with cement. People getting hit by limos. It was wild shit. But it had a story. Somebody got their ass whooping. We ain't known. We had brawler room matches. We had buried alive matches. We had some of the most fun stuff. But now,
panty match.
Bra and panty match. Well, they're trying their best not to go back there.
We got a new management with that one.
I mean,
AEW might be. At AEW, with the way that they've been going with shit, like, they might be hopping on that trade. They've been, I wouldn't say wilding, but they've been trying to rekindle that kind of energy. Oh, yeah. So we'll see about that.
As long as they don't do Samantha Irvin on a pole match with Ricochet, because that looked like that's where that's going.
Hey, you laugh, but
Samantha on the fork.
We'll see. I wouldn't put it past them.
Hey, look. All I'm going to say is, as a wrestling fan and a person who's been watching this for years, you know, if you read a book, There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's just like this Lyra Valkyrie Becky Lynch match. Where is our middle?
What do you mean?
Yeah, I stomped y'all with it. Where is our middle? Where is our middle to this? Where is our middle to what was our middle confrontation of what's going on here? Where is our meat at this?
Kindergarten books with like five pages.
That's what they gave you. That's what they gave you. I told you, they really try us sometimes. And they think, are they going to enjoy the match? What you don't realize is, person, whoever thought of this, if it was a group of y'all, if this don't work out, I'd whip all y'all ass. I'd put y'all in the room and whip y'all ass. I'm just being honest with you. If it's a group of y'all who came up with this, I'd whip y'all ass. Because you the one say, nah, five-page book, just flip through this shit real quick and we tell a quick story. And if this don't work out, and I promise you, because Rob is going to be the one who's going to tell me first. And if unless Jarvis beat me, he's going to be like, man, that was bullshit-ass women's match. That's just how we felt about the Charlotte match. Why y'all gave us that shit? Nobody wanted to see that shit. You could put anything over there. And then y'all going to be mad with us. Y'all just talking shit about the women. Nah, I'm talking shit because this shit ain't worth a five-page flip book, bro. I told you, where's the middle? Where's the middle? We know where the middle is with Cena. As soon as he came out of the shit with Cody, they went right into this shit. And they've been going at it for weeks. And it's been, granted, it has been RKOs and promos and shit. But the promos have been our middle leading to the end. Lyra's done one promo? One?
One or two. Yeah.
Where's our Becky promo?
It was together.
Was it?
They had one together. But that's
be honest, Rob. Be honest. Was that shit worth it? Just be you my nigga. Just be honest, Rob. Just be honest. Don't you let them motherfuckers slide right now on this recording. Don't you let them slide. You tell the truth. You tell the truth before I exit out of here and we tell these people goodnight. You tell the truth. Was that a real middle, Rob? Just be honest with yourself right now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Exactly. Told you. They insult our intelligence with that shit. They'll never notice. They'll never notice the giant hole in the wall that we put half of a post over and you can still see the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Told you. They think we stupid sometimes. They think we stupid. Nah. I know y'all sick of hearing me rant about WWE and creative. Like I said, Triple H, you need to start whipping their ass. You need to treat their ass like a frat house around here. You putting pink people slip. Up. I'm giving pink slips. I have a sign on my door. I'm giving out pink slips if this shit don't work. That'll be on my shirt right there. I'm giving out pink slips if this shit don't work. But with that being said, we are Bruh Migos Podcast. Always remember, Bruh, like, subscribe to your Bruh people about us. I'm going to remember to put the link share. Remember, Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Come see us. Even YouTube Shorts. We even have YouTube Shorts that go up there.
Plenty.
Come like, subscribe. Plenty of them, plenty of entertainment for your hours of entertainment. You can listen to us, whether it be just me and Rob or me, Rob, and Jarvis. We do our thing. We love doing this. Hey, and remember, if you subscribe, it's free. Doesn't cost you anything.
Free 99, dog. All is free. To see all
free
this.
Free 99, dog.
See all this.
No.
Hours of content. Hours of content for free 99. Even on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Go ahead, hit the button, play.
Amazon.
Get your treadmill. Yep, Amazon. Get your treadmill, walk on, get your workout in. Apple, everything.
Pandora.
Yep, Pandora too.
All them shits.
We everywhere. Just come enjoy. Enjoy the content. And enjoy yourself. But anything you guys want to say as we get up out of here.
Go ahead, Vizky.
Nothing much, just I'm about to go see what time we're going to tune in the Backlash, you know. First, I got to go ring some wedding bells for like 20 minutes, you know. But that's it. Nothing much for me.
Wedding bells?
Yeah, I got to help out at the wedding. Well, okay. The reception, not the wedding. The wedding going on right now. I wasn't going.
I got you. Wait. All right, but yeah. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Y'all have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to,
yep,
to y'all mamas. Happy Mother's Day to y'all mamas. The y'all mamas right here. Y'all mamas in there. Everybody mamas. Mamas, babies, mamas, and mamas. Those one mamas that ain't with us, that's still with us. Like all the mamas, everybody. So Thank y'all for all y'all do. Thank y'all for all y'all done. So, peace, be easy.
Yep, be easy, and we're out of here. Peace.
Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra-Migos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.